Hi, Rita. This is Michael Criswell. I just thought I would send you a quick recording. First of all, having just come back from India, I am delighted to hear that you have left the Hindu religion and have found the true God and true salvation through Jesus Christ. Praise God. Myself, I was overwhelmed going to a country of 1.3 billion people and seeing how such a large, massive number of people are living in complete darkness and ignorance of the one true God. And it honestly has really impacted me in a very, very deep way. My heart has just been experiencing grief. And then even coming back to America, I had this very interesting thing happen where the visible darkness, the visible darkness in India, which is so external and so in your face and so obvious, actually helped me to better see the invisible darkness in America. And both countries are in terrible, terrible shape spiritually. But God is to be praised for your salvation. And I just wanted to encourage you that if you will give God intentional seeking Him through obedience. So many people don't understand the difference between being a true follower of Christ and a false follower. In John 8:31 through 36, Jesus says something that is simple, it's profound, it's black and white, and it is a stumbling block over which many so-called Christians will ultimately stumble and fail in the end. In John 8:31 through 36, in verse 30, we see that as Jesus spoke, many Jews began to put their faith in Him. So they started to believe that Jesus really was the Son of God. And Jesus says in that 31st verse, He says, "To the Jews who believed in Him, Jesus said, 'You are really My disciples if you hold to My teaching. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" What Jesus is saying is, a person who claims to have put their faith in Him just because they believe in Him intellectually and they believe in Him in their heart, it's not evidence that it's real to God until you walk in obedience. In other words, until you begin to deny yourself, Matthew 16:24, and until you begin to serve one master, God, rather than two, Matthew 6:24, until you begin to store up treasures in heaven, not on earth, in Matthew 6:19, until you begin to put away lust, Matthew 5:27, and you begin to have mercy in your heart, and you begin to be meek, and you're a peacemaker, and your purity of heart, the Beatitudes, and you rejoice when you're persecuted, and until you begin to put the teachings of Christ in practice in your life, Jesus says the faith that you have is not real. I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking in general. He says this to all of us. He says in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" And so basically He says to all of us, why do you call yourself a Christian and then not do what I say? Why do you still love the world? Why do you still withhold forgiveness from others? Why do you still love money? Why do you still get angry with your brother? Why do you still lust with your eyes? Why do you still act selfishly? Why do you still honor yourself? Why do you still try to exalt yourself? In all the teachings of Christ, there's 113 actionable teachings of Jesus Christ. Most quote-unquote Christians, including me for 19 years, probably don't know more than 5 or 6. And again, Jesus says, why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? So how can we call ourselves a true Christian? And how can we expect the abundant life and the true blessings of God until we're completely surrendered and entirely obedient to Christ? And so what I want to just encourage you in is don't be one of those ones like me who gets baptized and then 19 years later wakes up and realizes, why is my life so frustrated? Why is my Christianity so weak? Why am I so confused about life? Why is my life not working like what the Bible seems to say it should work like? Why do I not feel the presence of God? Why is God not speaking to me and I am not hearing from Him? Why is He not giving me clear guidance for my life? Why is He not answering my prayers? Why do I not have this joy and the peace and the contentment and the rest for my soul? Don't make that mistake, Rita. If you've only just been baptized 2 years ago, praise God, you're still a babe in Christ, and perhaps you're more godly than I know. I have no idea. Please, again, I don't know you, so I'm not judging you at all. I'm just making what is an appropriate assessment for 98% of the Christians in the world. We have failed God, and we have gotten busy with a relationship with Christianity, and we add all kinds of religious practices and church and servolutions, and we feed the homeless people occasionally, and we check this box, and we go to the Bible study, and we go to this conference, and we do all these religious things. And Jesus will say to us, "You honor me with your lips and with your activity, but your hearts are far from me. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" So I say all this to tell you this. When I began to seek God through my brokenness, the first thing God taught me was obedience. If somebody were to ask me, "Michael, what's the secret to the Christian life as far as God has taught you?" I will tell you without a doubt, do not pass go, do not collect $200, do not look at anything else. The answer is obedience. I already loved God. So if you don't love God, to obey God is pointless. I already loved him and I already wanted him and I was seeking him. And what God taught me was the key to finding him and the key to knowing him was obedience. John 14:21-23 is a secret. Jesus says, "Whoever has my commands," meaning you've studied them, you've desired them, you've meditated upon them, you're memorizing them and you're obeying them. "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he or she is the one who loves me." In other words, whoever doesn't have my commands and whoever's not obeying them, no matter whether they call me by their, call themselves by my name or not, they do not love me. Anyone who loves me will obey my commands. The one who does not love me will not obey my teaching. This is the teaching that Jesus Christ said. So he says, if anyone loves me, and he says, "My Father will love them also, and I will love them, and I will show myself to them." This is verse 21, chapter 14 of the book of John. Jesus will manifest himself to you. He will make his home. Jesus says that if a man obeys my teaching, he will be loved by my Father. I too will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That is by the Holy Spirit. He will live in you and commune with you, and you will enjoy a life you never knew possible. Praise God. It comes out of me. Every time I speak of it, it's the most glorious thing I know, Rita, to know that the God of the universe, by the Spirit of the living Jesus Christ, has made his life and home in me. Hinduism can never give you, you know this, can never give you the life and the peace and the joy and the rest and the contentment and the answered prayers and the joy in your heart and the freedom from sin. Hinduism can't give it to you. Islam cannot give it to you. Being a Muslim cannot give it to you. Being a Buddhist cannot give you this. Being a Catholic cannot give this to you. Only being born again. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Matthew 14:6, no one comes to the Father except by me. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Anyone who rejects the Son rejects God, the Father. And so Jesus is the only way, and the only way to God through Jesus is through intentional, diligent obedience to God. Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God without faith, for anyone that comes to him must believe that he exists, and watch this, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Most Christians don't even understand the meaning of the word diligent, much less are they actually diligently seeking God. Rita, I want to challenge you to diligently seek God. Go after him as if he's the only thing worth living and he's the only thing in your life, because at the end of the day, the greatest purpose for your life is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second you and I step into eternity, we're going to realize what a fool we have been played to have given ourselves so much attention and given so much of our time, so much of our focus, and so much of our resources to chasing a world that is dying and that is going to burn. Chase after the Lord, and you'll find that everything he gives you will step through into eternity with you. There won't be anything left behind. You will have truly stored up treasures in heaven rather than on earth where things will be stolen or destroyed. You'll carry all these great treasures of Christ into eternity. You'll have spiritual treasure and spiritual fruit that lasts. And I want to tell you this last part. You mentioned about being married. God would want to delight himself in blessing you with a husband, a God-fearing man. But you have to give him time, number one, and you have to give him your righteousness and seek first his kingdom and his righteousness in your life, getting yourself fully immersed in him. It doesn't mean that you have to be a perfect super mini Jesus before God can bless you in any way, but you want to delight yourself fully in him, Psalm 37:4, and then he will give you the desire of your heart. The Bible says, I believe it's Proverbs 11:23, the desire of the righteous ends only in good. You'll suffer along the way, but that suffering is a payment on the reward that God will bless you with. Part of diligently seeking God is being willing to suffer for him and to deny yourself and to take up your cross and follow him. But I just want you to know God desires to bless you as you delight yourself in him. And the final thing I wanted to say is I challenge you to go to relentlessheart.com and take the John 7:17 challenge. Put the teachings of Christ into practice and Jesus Christ will make his home with you and you will never, ever be the same. God bless you, sister. Bye-bye.